Kale and Company, weekday mornings, 6 till 10.
We will get to not only Trump's findings that he shared verbally last night on Doge, but also Nicole Wallace with, from what I gather, very sick commentary after we get to some of the news. So get ready, Dawn Stensland. Get into your news, and then apparently Greg wants you to get into your feelings. I have no idea what this is about. So this will be news to me as well, and I guess we'll all react to it in real time. But let's get to that news. Round number two at 7:02, the great Dawn Stensland.
And good morning. Headlines this morning for you from Philadelphia on this Wednesday, March 5th, sponsored by the Philadelphia Flower Show. As we look at what's happening today, this Wednesday, an 18-year-old from Delaware was shot and killed in an ambush execution-style killing at a playground in southwest Philadelphia. The victim ID'd as a Delaware resident, 18 years old, Anthony Sharp Jr. of Smyrna, police looking for that killer of that teenager. We also know the body of 35-year-old Joshua Daywalt was found floating in the river near Kelly Drive, Schuylkill River, and by Midvale Ave, now identified. And the autopsy report shows the cause of death was homicide. Police searching for answers in that one. We've talked about a Mays Landing, New Jersey man now in custody for allegedly using his phone to record victims in men's restrooms across South Jersey, including Planet Fitness and Wawa. So that going on this morning. And as well, one piece of last night that we haven't touched on that made breaking news, and that was this big announcement that a suspected senior planner in that suicide bombing at the Kabul airport that killed, of course, 13 American service members during the chaotic U.S. withdrawal from Afghanistan. Well, Trump announcing last night that, in fact, that accused terrorist is now in custody, being brought to the United States of America to face justice. That announcement from Trump, as we talk about the speech last night, not State of the Union, but rather really a bipartisan address to Congress.
It was kind of a State of the Union, wasn't it?
So the only thing that separates that the actual label of the State of the Union would be for year two, three, and four, correct?
Yeah, it's more of a review.
Yeah.
And so this is at the beginning of your administration. He's,
right.
You know.
I would like to do this.
Seven and a half weeks in.
I would like to do this for 12:10. I'd like to stand up on a podium, have Mr. Yadgarov and Mr. Skopanich behind me, and address all of you.
Yeah, it's called your weekly brand manager meeting.
Sorry.
Grab a podium, find yourself a little elevated pitch, and conduct court stalker. Do whatever you want, man. It's your 30 minutes. Billy, that's how it's done, Rod.
And this year, we started doing it on YouTube. We started streaming on YouTube. And every other low-energy station followed in suit.
Yes.
Woo!
Yeah.
On these headlines, we do have a stormy, windy day. The storms begin about 2 o'clock, possibly 2 to 8. That's when we're going to see high winds, 50-mile-an-hour wind gusts, rain, high winds, but 61 today. In the 50s then tomorrow and pretty much through the rest of the week. And then early next week, we're going to see 70s. So much warmer weather coming in like a lamb. And that brings us to the flowers. Philadelphia Flower Show. Experience worlds of possibility from the ground up. Philadelphia Flower Show. Gardens of Tomorrow. Now through the 9th, Pennsylvania Convention Center. See imaginative designs, innovative ideas, endless inspiration. Get your ticket to the future today. PHSonline.org.
All right, Dawn, thank you very much. Now, Stocker, I'm assuming that this outlandish clip from Nicole Wallace was like in the postgame?
It was, yeah. Dawn mentioned this 13-year-old boy who survived brain cancer, DJ Daniel, stole the show during the President Trump's address to Congress last night when the president introduced him to the audience and officially swore him in as a member of the Secret Service. We have a little bit of how that sounded and looked. YouTube.com/at1210WPHT if you want to see it. Roll it, Phil.
And tonight, DJ, we're going to do you the biggest honor of them all. I am asking our new Secret Service Director, Sean Curran, to officially make you an agent of the United States
Secret
Service.
Look at his face. Wow.
His eyes.
That's beautiful.
I have no idea.
Beautiful.
And watch for when he hugs the agent. Oh, my God.
I have a heart of stone, and this is making me well up. Holy man.
Woo. Oh, God.
Jesus.
He's wearing a police uniform.
Wow, what a moment. What a moment. Stalker actually welling up on the radio, folks. We'll jot this day down.
Stop
for all the yelling. He does have compassion. I knew it. I knew it was in there, Gregory. No, that's a great job by all involved. What a brave, courageous kid. I mean, Secret Service. I guarantee you that kid would have had no problem getting on that sloped roof. You think he's scared of warm panels in July in Butler?
I don't care what, like, honestly, I don't care what side of the aisle you're on. Like, that. If that doesn't move you, you're in it. Nah, whatever.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
There it is. There's Evil Stalker. He's back.
I know.
Okay. All right.
Oh,
sorry.
And then he, so his dad's holding him up, and he holds, and he, you know, DJ had no idea. And then his dad's holding him up, and then he looks at Sean Curran, who's the new head of the Secret Service. He reaches over, and he hugs him.
Yeah.
And I know, Stalker, see? I wasn't the only one crying.
Yeah.
I was like,
all right.
Oh.
Well, it didn't, okay, let me just be, like, it didn't hit me like this when I watched it.
Right.
But now,
it
is. Okay. Let's get to failed, what was she?
Failed Romney
failed
hack?
Nicole Wallace was the loser. She and Schmidt, remember they ran?
Yeah.
They ran the campaign of a war hero, a POW in Vietnam, John McCain.
Oh,
they ran his campaign, presidential campaign. Like, how do you not do a better job?
Yeah.
But they did a horrifying job, and even, and then threw Sarah Palin under the bus, the Veep. And then later, even though they took all the money for running the campaign, Nicole Wallace later admitted that she did not even vote for McCain, her own candidate. She
thank you.
Never will run another campaign.
What
never has. She is a loser.
By the way,
how do you take that
loser.
Money and not even vote for the guy?
Right.
By the way, I deserve it. Everybody on the YouTube chat can call me the P word. It's fine. Okay.
No, even,
so, you know what? Even when Stalker shows sympathy, you guys are relentless.
Yeah.
Never do it again, Greg.
All right.
Don't let them get you.
Nicole Wallace in the pregame or the postgame show last night talking about this. This is what she said. Roll it.
But I think this was a lesson in finding one thing that you let yourself feel. And I let myself feel joy about DJ. And I hope he's alive for another, 95 years, right? And I hope he lives the life he wants to live. He wants to be a cop, knows what he wants to do.
Yeah.
And maybe when you have childhood cancer, that crystallizes for you. And I hope he has a long life as a law enforcement officer. But I hope he never has to defend the United States Capitol against Donald Trump supporters. And if he does, I hope he isn't one of the six who loses his life to suicide.
Right.
And I hope he isn't one who has to testify against the people who carried out acts of seditious conspiracy and then live to see Donald Trump pardon those people.
Wow.
Hopes he doesn't commit suicide.
And you wonder why nobody watches that network.
She and Maddow are getting ripped for this,
by the way. Yeah, and so, by the way, Saki's on that set as well. You saw her in that picture as well, to the left of Maddow. And Maddow's just sitting there nodding her head along, yeah, I'm stealing $20 million. Say whatever you want, Nicole. I'm not really even listening to you. I mean, you really have to bring up January 6th and with a 13... I'm pretty sure that if the kid can survive cancer, and you see the scar across the cranium, right? I'm pretty sure he's going to be well-equipped mentally and physically from a toughness standpoint. You know, you have some skins on the wall. You accomplish a lot of things in your life where you've overcame adversity. You know, they say you build up some calluses, you know, so to speak. I'm pretty sure that kid is not going to be rocked by anything that comes across his path in his next, hopefully, like Nicole Wallace said, where she actually was on point, the next 95 years that he lives, God willing. I mean, if you're a kid, I have, to your point, Stalker, with the emotion, the fact that kids can handle, you know, you see like Shriners or CHOP, you see the one St. Jude down in Memphis. Some of these kids at 8 years old, with no hair on their head, going through what they go through, they handle adversity far better than anybody that lost a federal job and then cried about their 8-month severance on TikTok. You serious? Like, you start to put things into perspective and evaluate who can actually handle the ebbs and flows of life. That kid right there at 13 years old probably has handled more than all of us will ever have to deal with.
I hope that, you know, with MSNBC under fire anyway and getting rid of people, I hope that she, Nicole Wallace, and I never say this, I never hope anybody loses their gig, but she should be fired. It was horrible.
Joy Reid would have said if she was still employed. Oh, Donald Trump's just pandering to him because he's a black child.
I don't know if she should be fired for it, but I think that she's getting rightly ripped for it, and I think that people should vote with their by not watching it. Even the people who like her and watch that. She should have just stopped. She had the right tone and sentiment in the first 20 seconds of what she said. She should have stopped it right there. You didn't need to add, well, I hope he doesn't commit suicide by Trump supporters, you know, because Trump supporters stormed the Capitol. Like, that is, like, there's just no, there are so few things that bring the country together.
Yeah.
That scene last night at the State of the Union with that kid is one of them.
Right, and we can play
And she just crapped all over.
Yeah. Well, we can play that game all day. Well, Nicole, I also hope that that 13-year-old boy doesn't become a police officer in a big blue city where law and order no longer exists and it's open season.
He wants
cops.
To be Secret Service, though, Nick.
I know.
So he's not. And that's just celebrate him. Just
exactly.
She is. This is why this is why she was a loser running a campaign of a war hero.
Yep.
She is so biased as a secret Democrat. And it was just a horrible thing to say. And by the way, to even, you know, anybody watching, if you're a family member of those J6 officers who took their own lives weeks after, where, I mean, like, what? Mm-hmm. Like, why would you connect that? Nobody connects that.
4 years and 2 months later, she still brings up one single day. Again, and they're all connected, right? Whether the Democrat in office or the left-wing talking head on TV, same tired. Nothing has changed. It's almost going to be 5 months, and they haven't changed their tone or their tune on anything. Just keep racking up the L's. That's fine by me.
Go to cut 30 here, Phil. If you want to get. Oh, no. I'm sorry. This is cut 29. Sorry about that. Phil's doing a great job. I have like 47 cuts.
I can see him
like
scrolling
that.
Through.
Trying to keep up with my phonetic pace is, you know, it's not easy, and he does a great job. Trump last night listed the Doge accomplishments.
Mm-hmm.
He thanked Elon first. We don't have that part.
But, hey, by the way, Elon was in a suit.
He was. Yeah.
First time I've ever seen him in a suit.
Roll this film.
Just listen to some of the appalling waste we have already identified. $22 billion from HHS to provide free housing and cars for illegal aliens. $45 million for diversity, equity, and inclusion scholarships in Burma. $40 million to improve the social and economic inclusion of sedentary migrants. Nobody knows what that is. $8 million to promote LGBTQI+ in the African nation of Lesotho, which nobody has ever heard of. $60 million for indigenous peoples and Afro-Colombian empowerment in Central America. $60 million. $8 million for making mice transgender.
I had one in my garage once.
This is real. $32 million for a left-wing propaganda operation in Moldova. $10 million for male circumcision in Mozambique. $20 million for the Arab Sesame Street in the Middle East. It's a program. $20 million for a program. $1.9 billion to recently created Decarbonization of Homes Committee, headed up, and we know she's involved. Just at the last moment, the money was passed over by a woman named Stacey Abrams. Have you ever heard of her? A $3.5 million consulting contract for lavish fish monitoring. $1.5 million for voter confidence in Liberia. $14 million for social cohesion in Mali. $59 million for illegal alien hotel rooms in New York City. He's a real estate developer. He's done very well. $250,000 to increase vegan local climate action innovation in Zambia. $42 million for social and behavior change.
Yeah, YouTube channel correct him, I'm sure.
$14 million for improving public procurement in Serbia. $47 million for improving learning outcomes in Asia. Asia's doing very well with learning. You know what we're doing. Should use it ourselves. And $101 million for DEI contracts at the Department of Education. The most ever paid. Nothing even like it. Under the Trump administration, all of these scams. And they're far worse, but I didn't think it was appropriate to talk about them. They're so bad. Many more have been found out and exposed and swiftly terminated by a group of very intelligent, mostly young people, headed up by Elon, and we appreciate it. We found hundreds of billions of dollars of fraud.
Who's the blonde next door?
Mom number 11.
When I heard Trump riffing on this, all I thought was, I can't wait for Sean Farish on Friday.
Me too.
Right?
Me too.
You know he's going to have a field day with the trans mouse.
$14 million to instill voter confidence in a third world country? How about instilling voter confidence in Bucks County?
How about HVAC in Philly schools?
Yeah. It's just, I mean, it's absurd. And I have this other story about the Doge salaries that we can get into a little bit later. Some of these Doge staffers are making salaries the equivalent of some of our people in office to the tune of about 170 grand. I actually think they're being underpaid when you actually realize what they're exposing and what they're going to save us in the long run. But we can get to that a little bit later.
We should break.
All right. Let's see here. We've got the cut sheet. In about 25 minutes, Tony Bruno will join us at 7:45. We'll actually rip through a couple of these salaries when we come back. And then also a couple of more clips. Our veteran spotlight is just 2 hours away. And if you want to jump in on anything that you watched and learned, maybe a strong opinion, something you enjoyed, you want to call out the Democrats, whatever it might be from last night's festivities, you can do so. 855-839-1210. It's Kale and Company here on a Wednesday morning on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Got to talk about my friends at Piazza Premium Automobiles, featuring the very latest luxury vehicles from today's top brands. I'm talking about Mercedes-Benz, Jaguar, Land Rover, BMW, Porsche, Alfa Romeo, Maserati, and more. You know, these models, they have sleek new designs and innovative features powered by the very latest in technology. And right now, Piazza has thousands of new as well as certified pre-owned vehicles available across their Pennsylvania, Delaware, and New Jersey dealerships. Piazza Premium Automobiles always stands out. Visit them. PiazzaPremiumAutos.com. P-I-A-Z-Z-A. PiazzaPremiumAutos.com. Tell them Dawn sent you.
It's Kale and Company on demand from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the free Odyssey app.
Tony Bruno, cut sheet coming up in just about 20 minutes. We'll get to some of these Doge salaries as well. But a lot of heartstring moments last night, whether it's that 13-year-old child that we talked about or even things like Lake and Riley. And remember, a year ago for the State of the Union, Marjorie Taylor Greene shouting out, saying, say her name, Lake and Riley. And I know we have a cut to get to on that. And by the way, speaking of Marjorie Taylor Greene, but did you see her outfit last night?
No, no.
That's amazing. In a room full of loons, she still manages to stick out like a sore thumb. Blue dress, red MAGA hat. I thought she was like some combination of Wonder Woman meets Clark Kent meets MAGA mom. I didn't know what was going on. Between the red hat, the white hair, and the blue dress, she looked like an American flag.
Yeah, you and Dawn mentioned the Lake and Riley and Trump acknowledging Lake and Riley's family. This is how that sounded. Cut 36, Phil.
Last year, a brilliant 22-year-old nursing student named Lake and Riley, the best in her class, admired by everybody, went out for a jog on the campus of the University of Georgia. That morning, Lakin was viciously attacked, assaulted, beaten, brutalized, and horrifically murdered. Lakin was stolen from us by a savage illegal alien gang member who was arrested while trespassing across Biden's open southern border and then set loose into the United States under the heartless policies of that failed administration. It was indeed a failed administration. He had then been arrested and released in a Democrat-run sanctuary city, a disaster, before ending the life of this beautiful young angel. With us this evening are Lakin's beloved mother, Allison, and her sister, Lauren.
Just amazing.
Last year, I told Lakin's grieving parents that we would ensure their daughter would not have died in vain. That's why the very first bill I signed into law as your 47th president mandates the detention of all dangerous criminal aliens who threaten public safety. It's a very strong, powerful act.
Look at the Democrats sitting there.
It's called the Lakin-Riley Act. So Allison and Lauren, America will never, ever forget our beautiful Lakin Hope Riley.
I mean, there you have it. You, when you saw the visual, the wide shot of the floor on the right-hand side, if you're looking from Trump's vantage point out into the audience, so to speak, on the right-hand side are all the Democrats. That has to be at least three or four dozen Democrats there, sitting there, not even batting an eyelash. No tears, no clapping, no standing, just sitting there in defeat, stewing in their own juices. And why? Because what was the end game here that they were playing? They wanted to have, as Elon Musk said, roughly 80% will end up coming here illegally and end up voting Democrat. And they tried to turn all seven swing states into blue states at the expense of somebody like Lakin Riley's life.
Yeah, and it was obvious. I mean, their party, I mean, these two grieving mothers, these grieving families hold their policies accountable for these deaths. I lost it also. When he honored, you know, Alexis Nungaray, whose 12-year-old daughter, Jocelyn, was kidnapped, raped, tortured for hours, murdered. And when he said that he had just signed that sanctuary after her name, I lost it.
Yeah.
Like, there could not have been a dry eye among so many people who were either there in person or just watching at home. Mm-hmm. It was the weight of their grief was on all of us.
It's really fascinating when you examine where the Democrats are with biological females. So they're with biological females when it comes to their pro-choice stance, but they're against biological females not having to compete against biological males. Yeah. And they are willing to let illegal immigrants come into this country, specifically the dangerous, violent ones with a rap sheet and a record, and abuse them, stalk, harass, sexually assault, physically assault, and or murder them for the sake of maintaining power? That's just really remarkable. I don't know how a non-political female, maybe starting to dabble in politics and put her feet in the water and learn more about politics and start voting from a more educated standpoint, or just voting at all in general, examines those three issues for females and doesn't go right of center. I don't understand that, but I'm not a female.
I mean, look at these grieving moms. Look into their eyes and look at the images of their daughters and then say to yourself, these victims and these grieving parents, just collateral damage to bring in millions of new voters.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you got to break a few eggs collateral if you want to make an omelet, right?
My God. Mm. And then also Pennsylvania's Mark Fogel was there and his mom from Butler, PA. That was a neat moment.
Was Comparator's family there?
Yes.
Yeah. Were they?
Okay. Yeah, they were Corey Comparator's widow and daughters. They were there as well.
Mm-hmm.
We had Pennsylvania in focus.
Staying with the border policy and stuff, 37 here, Phil, talking about it turns out we really didn't need new legislation.
Oh, I was told we needed a bill for that.
Roll this.
Since taking office, my administration has launched the most sweeping border and immigration crackdown in American history, and we quickly achieved the lowest numbers of illegal border crossers ever recorded. Thank you. The media and our friends in the Democrat Party kept saying we needed new legislation. We must have legislation to secure the border. But it turned out that all we really needed was a new president.
Pretty remarkable. Right, I remember that moment when they were saying we need legislation. We need this bill. And countless times we'll give you... And I'm just throwing out random numbers here. I don't remember the specifics. We'll give you $30 million for the border, but $100 million has to go to foreign aid. And I'm like, whoa, no. We're talking specifically about the sovereignty and the security of our nation and our parameters and perimeter and the border as a whole. And if you think about the numbers, CBS threw up the graphic a couple of days ago on social media. It's probably on my timeline from a couple of days ago somewhere. February of 2022. February of 2023 and February of 2024, the border crossings under Joe Biden in those 3 years of February, respectively, were all over like 160,000 illegal immigrants coming in. February of 2025 under Trump, first full month, those numbers in the six figures dropped down to 8,000 and change without a bill. It can be done.
Shows you a president and a policy change makes a huge difference.
You just got to be willing to do it. That's all. Not rocket science.
Tony Bruno coming up in 10 minutes. Cut 38 here, Phil. He also said mandatory death penalty for anyone who murders a police officer. 38.
We're also once again giving our police officers the support, protection, and respect they so dearly deserve. They have to get it. They have such a hard, dangerous job, but we're going to make it less dangerous. The problem is the bad guys don't respect the law, but they're starting to respect it, and they soon will respect it. This also includes our great fire departments throughout the country. Our firemen and women are unbelievable people, and we'll never forget them. And besides that, they voted for me in record numbers, so I have no chance. One year ago this month, 31-year-old New York police officer Jonathan Diller, unbelievably wonderful person and a great officer, was gunned down at a traffic stop on Long Island. I went to his funeral. The vicious criminal charged with his murder had 21 prior arrests, and they were rough arrests. So he was a real bad one. The thug in the seat next to him had 14 prior arrests and went by the name of Killer. He was Killer. He killed other people, they say, a lot of them. I attended Officer Diller's service, and when I met his wife and one-year-old son, Ryan, it was very inspirational, actually. His widow's name is Stephanie, and she is here tonight. Stephanie, thank you very much, Stephanie. Thank you very much. Stephanie, we're going to make sure that Ryan knows his dad was a true hero, New York's finest, and we're going to get these cold-blooded killers and repeat offenders off our streets, and we're going to do it fast. Got to stop it. They get out with 28 arrests. They push people into subway trains. They hit people over the head, back of the head with baseball bats. We got to get them out of here. I've already signed an executive order requiring a mandatory death penalty for anyone who murders a police officer. And tonight I'm asking Congress to pass that policy into permanent law.
Well, you know, I'm all for that. And Stocker wants a death penalty for shoplifting. So
Dude, it's true.
Probably a universal yes and a head nod of approval here on this show because, yeah, we have got to get back to the point where the police officers are not going to have to walk around on eggshells because of some left-wing loser district attorney that's got overzealous ambitions bankrolled by you-know-who. And, oh, by the way, too, it's one thing if it's the district attorney. It's one thing if it's the mayor. I'm sick of chiefs of police that take on this anti-cop stance. Who was the character that you played a day or two ago on the cut sheet that offered condolences for the victim, which happened to be the perpetrator?
Oh, that's
is that Boston?
Yeah, it's Wu, Michelle Wu.
Well,
I think
Wu's the
is.
Mayor, but the police chief had the same verdict.
Oh, yes,
he was
yes, 100%.
Yeah, he should be fired.
By the way, Nick, she doubled down on that. I was going to get to this in the cut sheet. Might as well get to it now.
Okay.
Boston Mayor Wu doubles down on wishing condolences to the knife-wielding attacker.
He's in some sort of school library, it looks like.
Is there no audio for it?
Oh, maybe the audio's not working. So she's doubling down on that nonsensical stance.
Yeah,
I'm tripling down if I'm a Boston voter and getting her out of office.
Yeah.
How did she get in?
I have no idea.
My God.
It's amazing.
I know big city, but I didn't think Boston was at the same level as San Francisco and Los Angeles.
I express condolences along with our police commissioner and district attorney because every loss of life is a horrible tragedy.
As it was initiated and caused by the scumbag that you're defending.
Yeah.
Now, if you had a backbone and a brain and perhaps a set of balls, you would just say, gotta tell you, bad dude. Let him burn in hell.
But you're right. I would say. I mean, it wasn't just her. It was the police commissioner, and it was another representative that came out.
Police chief.
And did the exact same thing.
Like, whose side are you on?
I know.
Trump also, he broke a lot of news. Not only the terrorist leader that's, that they caught, and that was Abigate killing the 13 and others, but he also revived that plan for being able to deduct, for using a tax deduction on car loan interest payments and push for sweeping tax cuts. So pushing for all of those things. He made a lot of news last night as far as pushing for some new programs.
Yep, he did, as if he hasn't done enough in 6 weeks. 855-839-1210. What's on the cut sheet? And what will Tony Bruno have to say?
What's on the cut sheet's kind of been going on since 6 a.m.
Yeah. That's correct, which I'm not opposed to.
Yeah, I know.
Riffing on all this stuff.
It's days like this we need to do this stuff, so that's why I have. I mean, I have 54 cuts. So.
Okay. Well, we've got 36 to go. Tony Bruno, what's on the cut sheet? What's still left over? It's all still ahead.
There's so much left over.
As we continue live on a Wednesday.
This is the Kale and Company podcast from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and on the free Odyssey app.
This Al Green, ladies and gentlemen, this is what he looked like when they actually took him out.
It's not right. It's not right.
The Al Chambers. Actually, this is after he cleaned up. Is Al Green the original Cro-Magnon man? That dude is really scary, man.
I can't
Cro-Magnon man.
You have a poop emoji prop.
This is true. He does.
That is phenomenal.
He has a poop emoji prop.
All of our guests, they bring props.
They do.
Sean Farish, Tony Bruno.
Yeah, they're embracing the YouTube. YouTube.com/@1210WPHD if you want to see all the fun and frivolity. Yeah. Go over there, hit the like and subscribe button. Come on.
Yes. Let's get down.
Now, I have a clean whiteboard given to me by Carl Rove. So while we're doing the cut sheet segment today, I will be drawing pictures of the people last night. I don't know if you've seen it. Twitter is absolutely on fire today.
Yep.
Mocking every single ridiculous Democrat. And the Pennsylvania Democrats are the most shameful of them all, even John Fetterman.
Yes.
But last night was a disgrace, guys. We all know that. It was the worst night ever for the Democratic Party.
Yeah. Shame.
Shame is right.
Yes.
It was a shame. Anybody who thinks that the Democrats got any kind of boost from that sham last night needs to go to a psycho ward.
Yes.
It's unbelievable.
I agree. All right, let's get back into it. Greg Stocker, what's on that cut sheet of yours, sir?
Yes.
What's on
What's on the Country on this Wednesday, sponsored by Rita's Italian Ice. Ah, the sweet sound of Rita's season. Rita's is now open, and it's time to celebrate with a delicious gelati, refreshing ice, or frozen coffee pick-me-up. Download the app to earn rewards and get to Rita's for ice custard and happiness. Thank you, Rita's. Good day for Rita's until it starts downpouring today.
Yeah, get there by 1:30.
Yeah. Thank you, Rita, for sponsoring the ever-important...
I didn't get my ash yet, guys. What time should I get my ash?
Dawn, you're the resident religious person on the show.
Yeah.
Over at Wednesday?
Yeah.
Masses started actually 7 a.m. and 7 a.m. noon.
Yeah.
Then there's
yeah.
another one at
That's
3.
Too early.
There's another one. It's well, you can do noon, 3, or 7 p.m.
Democrats got their ashes handed to them last night.
Oh! Rimshot.
Rimshot.
I'm just going to go out to my barbecue pit and get some, you know, some of the residue and then put it on my head and nobody will know the difference.
Nobody will know the difference. Tony Bruno came out with his poop emoji for Al Green. Al Green was in the first... What do you guys say? 7 minutes was escorted out of the House chambers last night. This is how that sounded and looked. Roll it, Philip.
Likewise, small business optimism saw its single largest 1 month gain ever recorded, a 41-point jump.
Members are directed to uphold and maintain decorum in the House and to cease any further disruptions. That's your warning. Members are engaging in willful and continuing breach of decorum, and the chair is prepared to direct the sergeant-at-arms to restore order to the joint session. Mr. Green, take your seat. Take your seat, sir. Take your seat.
Looks like Saddam Hussein.
Finding that members continue to engage in willful and concerted disruption of proper decorum, the chair now directs the sergeant-at-arms to restore order. Remove this gentleman from the chamber.
It would have been better if somebody came up with a chair.
Yeah.
And smacked him in the back of the chair.
A couple of zip ties.
Yeah.
Put him in a wheelbarrow.
They should have had The Rock come out and give the throat cut.
Yeah. The throat cut.
The final boss, baby.
Was representative...
The final boss come out.
was Representative Alexander Green, was that an insurrection? I mean, it was an official proceeding.
Very defiant, because that is an astute point from you, Stensland. You know, I would say this, though. It's, you know, I'm all for a little bit of theatrics. You know, the first time, because we saw this, the reports that were out yesterday, Tony, that Democrats were going to have signs, there was going to be some walkouts. Some of it materialized, some of it didn't. But after you do your first round of defiance, you've made your point. You got your little camera time. Now sit down and shut up. Especially for a guy that walks around with a cane. How's he standing for so long?
Yes. I don't know. You see, even Nancy Pelosi was there sitting there trembling with her pink suit on. You know, and then Elisa Slotkin, who spent the entire night refusing to go vote for the Women's in Sports Act, she was sitting there. She actually posted a video of her rehearsing the night before instead of going to vote for the Women in Sports Act. So she's a phony, too. Yep. And by the way, her stuff was all rehearsed. Even though it was live, most of the stuff she talked about had nothing to do with Trump's address.
Yep.
It was all pre-scripted nonsense. And if she thinks that she's the face of the party, good for her. But she's an embarrassment. The entire anybody who can look at the Democratic Party today and say, yeah, good job last night. You guys really, now you're on message. They're insane. These people are criminally insane.
Mm-hmm. There are very, very few of them that are somewhat common sense. Yeah, it's like you got the guy Sean talks about a lot, Andy Beshear, the governor of Kentucky. I mean, you would think he's a right winger based on the people he's surrounded by in his own party. You stack him up to Jasmine Crockett and Slotkin and Raskin and some of these maniacs. I mean, he looks like a beacon of stability.
Did you see, by the way, there was another, the best shot of the night, and I'm sure we'll play it, but I'm getting ahead of everything. You know who Trump named? He named one person in particular during that entire tirade against the Democrats.
Yes.
You have that?
We do.
Okay. We'll continue. I'm just so excited about the cut sheet.
I know you are.
I couldn't sleep at all last night. I was tossing and turning.
Me either.
Turning and tossing.
Sorry, Dawn fell asleep on the couch with notes and was dreaming of Sean Hannity.
It was a nightmare. I did. I fell asleep. You know how when something's on the TV and then like, you know.
You woke up with your legal pad?
I did, sir.
I've been known to do that.
Cut 40. This is what Tony Bruno just referenced. Roll it.
I'm also working tirelessly to end the savage conflict in Ukraine. Millions of Ukrainians and Russians have been needlessly killed or wounded in this horrific and brutal conflict with no end in sight. The United States has sent hundreds of billions of dollars to support Ukraine's defense with no security, with no anything. Do you want to keep it going for another 5 years? Yeah. You would say Pocahontas says yes.
Even Elizabeth Warren laughed.
She loves that. She loves that she has a nickname.
2,000 people are being killed every single week. More than that. They're Russian young people. They're Ukrainian young people. They're not Americans. But I want it to stop. Meanwhile, Europe has sadly spent more money buying Russian oil and gas than they have spent on defending Ukraine, by far. Think of that.
There you go.
You know, it is amazing, you know, whether you're a Democrat, Republican, pro-Trump, anti-Trump, in the game that is politics, you know, if Trump's got a nickname for you, you've made it. So there's deep down inside, Liz Warren might act like she's offended by it. But that's like kind of like a term of endearment because he recognizes her and acknowledges her. But on the Ukraine front, Tony, we've talked a lot about this really since the blow up on Friday. Your first chance to jump in now, 120 hours later.
Well, you saw what happened, and Trump did it later because I watched the whole thing because, you know, I want to be up to date on stuff. So I'm going to watch it. And the fact that he came out like at 9:18 and he finished up at 11 o'clock. So that was the longest state of whatever it is that he was doing. But, I mean, it was an absolute beatdown. I mean, I've never seen people sit there, and not since Ricky Gervais at the Golden Globes taking down the entire entertainment industry has one president go out there and take down the opposition party and watch them quiver and sulk like the evil, no-good, crumb creep, disgusting, coward, crumb-bum drunks that they are.
You're a creep.
To quote Frank, they are creeps. They are crumb creep cowards.
I was also thinking about this as well. We just went from a president who, a year ago, for his final State of the Union address, remember when we were talking about the lead-up to that? We were asking the legit, valid question before the media even acknowledged this. Could Joe Biden even make it through a State of the Union address? Think about where we are a year later now.
100 minutes.
I was thinking that it was like 10:55 and Trump's still out there, and he's still like, I know he's reading from a prompter, but he was dead. I mean, imagine the man. He's 78 years old and he's out there and he's still bringing the energy, the alacrity, the intensity, the funk, the noise, anything you need to bring. And it's almost 11 o'clock at night.
You know, it's funny.
Unbelievable.
Is that I'm 40. I'm going to be 45 next month. And I had to go to bed at 9:15. I watched 15 minutes of it. And then I watched the entire thing this morning at 4 a.m. So even I was just like, no, guys, I'm sorry. Daddy needs to go to sleep.
I was there. I was with it until 10:04. Right when he started to talk about the gold card, the gold card was my cue for bed.
Tony and I stayed up.
Yeah,
like,
you did.
How can you shut off the state of the whatever it is called, the beatdown of the Democrats last night? I mean, that was.
Awesome.
I'm trying to think of something comparable when it comes to beatdowns. I'm trying to think. That was
Mike Tyson.
That was Mike Tyson. Yeah, that was. I mean, that was. It was unbelievable to watch, seriously. Not because I hate the Democrats. Everybody should hate Democrats this morning. Even Democrats should hate Democrats. I mean, even the Philadelphia mayor wouldn't come out and show her face today after that disgraceful performance last night.
The problem... The problem was that last night was that, like, not that it was meant to change minds, but the people who support Trump watched it and think it was great, and the people who didn't probably didn't watch it and think it was horrible. So, like, it's just it's the same over and over again.
Are the ratings out yet? Do we know?
No, they won't be out. And by the way, they're going to be. I don't think they're going to be astronomical, but also, like, we're seeing a decline in ratings everywhere. So
except on this show.
Well, no. I mean, exactly. On TV. Yeah. I meant on TV.
Okay.
Trump said that. Well, let's do cut 23 here, Phil. He said that he can find a cure for the most devastating disease, and these people sitting here would still not clap. Right?
Yep.
This is my fifth such speech to Congress, and once again, I look at the Democrats in front of me, and I realize there is absolutely nothing I can say to make them happy. Or to make them stand or smile or applaud. Nothing I can do.
None.
I could find a cure to the most devastating disease, a disease that would wipe out entire nations, or announce the answers to the greatest economy in history, or the stoppage of crime to the lowest levels ever recorded. And these people sitting right here will not clap, will not stand, and certainly will not cheer for these astronomical achievements. They won't do it, no matter what. I've been up here.
Like Tony.
It's very sad, and it just shouldn't be this way.
Look at all those faces.
Yeah.
I mean, that is. Look at all those angry. And there's Adam Schiff sitting there, that little weasel.
Yep.
And again, it's not whether you like Trump or not, it's not even the issue here. The fact of the matter is, these people went there and they were an embarrassment to the country. Any other third world country watching that, there's opposition everywhere. You know, there's a lot of places that are democracies don't even have this kind of nonsense.
Mm-hmm. You're right.
The fact that they wear all pink, yep. All 20, 25 of them read a recorded script yesterday with the same nonsense. Yep. There's not one functioning brain in the Democratic Party right now.
Nope.
Not, except Al Green.
Yep.
Because he's writing up articles of impeachment as we speak right now.
None of them having an original thought. They don't go against the grain. They just spew the talking points that they're provided. Yep. And Trump's right. Trump could legitimately cure. Let's go back to that 13-year-old kid with the Secret Service. If Trump, in theory, could cure childhood cancer, the Democrats would not give him credit for it. And you know what? That was, like, in vogue in 2016. That was still somewhat popular in 2020. That's dead now. I mean, that way of being adamantly anti-Trump, I mean, if he says today's Wednesday and there's still a select few out there that will argue it, that is now the minority. Let's not forget that. Trump is the majority. He was not the majority the first two times around. He is the majority now.
The looks on their faces. I mean, all you have to do is watch the look. I'm mad that they didn't show the reaction more than they did. Because I wanted to see the reaction after everything. You know, when he brought up the Fogel from up in Pennsylvania, whose Mark mom, Fogel, the 95-year-old mom. I mean, every single person that he acknowledged last night, not one got a standing, any kind of mention or applause from the Democrats. People who are dying, police officers, young kids who want to be cops. Everything that the Democrats hate, law and order, that's why they were sitting there. Yep. They hate everything American. They are the most, they should be shipped to Ukraine and dropped right in the front lines with that little pipsqueak Zelensky.
Streaming live on YouTube, youtube.com/@1210, WPHD. Please, if you're watching right now, please hit the like and subscribe buttons. I see the amount of people watching, and I see the amount of likes, and there's a big disparity. So make sure you're hitting the
like. Let me hit the like there. I have to hit the like.
Yeah,
I'm going to hit that.
Can I hit it twice?
Yeah, hit it twice.
Can I hit I got the magic stick. I can hit it once. I can hit it twice.
When you hit the subscribe button, also hit the bell there, the little bell, and it'll ding and it'll alert you.
Let me hit the bell. I think I'm already subscribed.
When we go live, yes.
Only Tony Bruno can drop in a 50 Cent Magic Stick 2004 hip-hop lyric on this show.
Let's see. Trump talked about the economy and egg prices. Cut 28, Phil. Let's roll this one, go.
Among my very highest priorities is to rescue our economy and get dramatic and immediate relief to working families. As you know, we inherited from the last administration an economic catastrophe and an inflation nightmare. Their policies drove up energy prices, pushed up grocery costs, and drove the necessities of life out of reach for millions and millions of Americans. They've never had anything like it. We suffered the worst inflation in 48 years, but perhaps even in the history of our country. They're not sure. As president, I'm fighting every day to reverse this damage and make America affordable again. Joe Biden especially let the price of eggs get out of control. The egg price is out of control. And we're working hard to get it back down. Secretary, do a good job on that. You inherited a total mess from the previous administration. Do a good job.
Oh, there's a resist t-shirt.
A major focus of our fight to defeat inflation.
All right, there you go.
You know, it's amazing, Tony. I was thinking about this yesterday with the border, the record numbers, the lows that we're seeing in the first month, and all the other executive actions. Let's just look at this modestly. Let's do it from a cautious perspective. Let's just say economically, the cost of everything, that's up 20 and 30%. In the next year and a half, he chops that increase in half. It's still up 10 to 15%. Pre-COVID. That would be a pretty good success. I'd like more. But even if he just does that, on top of the other things that he ran on and has already succeeded in, like the border and, you know, hopefully getting these wars to end, what are Democrats going to complain about? That video yesterday that you were referencing, the 22 Democrats in unison talking about the economy after a guy's been in office for all of 6.5 weeks, I mean, that's the only thing they can point to right now, which is also peak hypocrisy. Because when Kamala Harris and the Democrats were running in November and October, I was told the economy's great. The stock market's never been better. Now all of a sudden Trump's in office, the economy sucks? Which one is it? It can't be both, right?
By the way, I got good leg egg. While you guys were sleeping, except for Dawn and even Robin stayed up, I got good. I did a lot of good leg. I got up so many times from my own standing ovations in my bedroom, and that was not Robin just acknowledging my existence.
You made Robin acknowledge it?
Robin gives you standing ovations.
I was standing up every time, you know, the speaker and the vice president stood up.
Yeah.
You talk about getting leg work in at 11 o'clock at night. My glutes and my hamstrings are feeling great this morning.
Tuesday typically is leg day, Tom.
last night after the speech, CNN had a focus group watching the speech at a diner in Bucks County.
Hey.
So some of them were Trump voters, some of them were not Trump voters. So they kind of did a little comparison to see how everybody thought on the speech last night. Let's start off with this woman who was a Trump voter, talking about the economy, about Trump's messaging on the economy. Just cut 21, go.
Enthusiastic in the entire group for Trump's speech. On a day where he installs 25% tariffs on Canada and Mexico, how did you feel about his message regarding the economy?
I thought it was very positive. I think what's happening now, we used to be a country that would just let everything happen. Okay, we'll do this. You know, you guys, Panama can have this. You know, I think now we're taking back things that should have never been given away. So I think doing those tariffs and everything, I think it's well overdone. I mean, it should have been done a long time ago.
I know that's not me moderating on CNN, the bald guy with a beard, although people tweet me that all the time. That's not me. I can confirm. Yeah, it's amazing when you have an American first agenda and you start to uncover all the ridiculous expenditures that are going out the window here to other countries.
you start funneling that back into this country and watch how things will change in due time.
What diner was that up in Bucks County?
I'm not sure. Don, do you know? Do you know? I'm not sure which one it was. I'm sorry.
Phil, he's a Bucks guy.
Yeah. Let's play a little bit more of it while we can tell you what diner it was there in Bucks County last night. This is more of the focus group from CNN at a diner in Bucks County, Roll 22.
A Kamala Harris voter, are you concerned about the speech, specifically no real mention of how tariffs might be inflationary?
I don't think that he understands how tariffs might be inflationary. And I think that he did not spend nearly enough time talking about what we're experiencing right now. I work for a nonprofit agency. I am seeing more people struggling with food insecurity, with a lack of ability to sustain themselves, housing. Uh-huh. Utility costs. It's worse now than ever. Americans, middle America, that's what we're feeling right now.
Six and a half weeks.
I don't think his speech addressed that.
Yeah, all those starving homeless people in Yardley waiting for the trains in New York. Yeah.
You know, it's also amazing.
All of those.
Go ahead. You're saying something?
All of those starving homeless people in Yardley waiting for the next train to New York to go to their jobs up there. They're on the streets. Food insecurity.
Yeah.
Because in 6 weeks, the guy's supposed to make everything better. And that's all they have. Yeah. Oh, and by the way, the dead giveaway, I work for a nonprofit.
Yeah.
In other words, she gets aid from USAID, and now that's been cut off. And so she doesn't have a scam to go out there and bilk our taxpaying dollars from.
And
so get out of my face with that 401c stuff. Uh-huh. Every single one of these charities needs to be audited.
I totally agree. I also love, too, how she's sitting there talking about how he doesn't know how tariffs work. If I recall correctly, he implemented some tariffs in his first term, and we did not see inflation. In fact, we had a very good economy. Now, the one thing I thought, if you were watching the pregame last night on Fox, I think it was not only a Republican, it might have been Dana Perino and then Harold Ford, the Democrat, agreed with her, or it was Britt Hume and Harold Ford. Basically, they were saying they would have liked to have seen the tax refunds, the tax cuts, and the DOGE stuff first, followed by the tariffs. Whereas it seems like we're getting tariffs first, followed by the other. So it's the sequence that there was almost bipartisan.
No, that was Kudlow. That was Larry Kudlow.
That was Larry Kudlow. Yes.
Kyra Kudlow, who's the business guy at Fox Business, and he was bringing that up. And so, yeah, there's a lot of things we all can look at and say, yeah, you know, I don't know how that works. But I'm telling you, I'll guarantee you, because you saw what he did last night. Because everybody was talking, you know, what's her face? Eliza Slotkin, in her pre-rehearsed speech, was mentioning Ukraine. And Trump, during the speech near the very end, mentioned that Zelensky had written an open letter saying he's ready to sit down and talk now. So Trump's ways of negotiating and allowing people to just simmer down, Zelensky basically admitted that he screwed up and he wants to get back at the table to end the war. So this is how a tough guy, a real negotiator, the art of the deal, he makes everybody a little nervous. And then he gets the message across, the message is delivered, because we know Europe's not going to pay to fund this war. They're not going to send their people to go die in Ukraine. And so now Zelensky comes to the table, gets that thing straightened out, and hopefully there'll be a ceasefire soon. And then what will the Democrats say if the Zelensky people get back together and they have this mineral deal and then they sit down, get a ceasefire and get this damn war? Who the hell wants never-ending wars except the Democrats, apparently?
Yep, you're right.
Can we play a little bit more of this, Phil? Because then I believe Marianne in Doylestown was on this panel last night, and she's on line one here. So let's play a little bit more of this. Roll this.
A lot of you wanted to see Donald Trump strike a tone that was uniting, that brought the country together. Could you show me, raise your hands, how many of you wanted to see that sort of uniting message in his speech? Everybody, right?
Sure.
Keep your hands raised if you felt that he delivered on that promise. So we've got 2.5 over there. Joe, tell us, why do you think it was a half?
I think that there was definitely a lot of unity that he was preaching there. I think that there definitely needed to be more of a willingness by the president to maybe do some more reaching across the aisle than he might have conveyed in the speech.
I just want to let our viewers know, Joe was actually a participant in a Kamala Harris town hall that we had last year. You were undecided at the time. Ultimately, you sided with President Trump. Imogene, what did you make of the speech? Anything that stood out to you that may have moved you? You were a Kamala Harris voter.
I was. There wasn't very much that was positive to me about the speech. I would like to see him, as Joe said, to bring us together. And I don't think that he has that capacity. He does not ever seem to be in line with bringing people together. It's more of a divisive method that he tries to pit us against one another, whether it's racially or economically or where we live, you know, our zip codes. So I don't see that, and I would like to see him do that.
Never really saw it with Joe Biden, but that's neither here nor there. So Marianne. Yeah. Was there last night. She's in Doylestown, and she's with us right now. Marianne, where were you sitting on that panel visually? Because I'm looking at that shot of 8 or 9 people. How was that last night?
If you saw Boris Sanchez, I was two people over from on his right.
Okay.
It was really good. You know, surprising, but you know, there was a lot that didn't get on the air. I mean, during the entire speech, we were all talking as a group. You know, there was a couple people that were just diehard. You know, like it was ironic because President Trump was feeling the same thing in the room. He could have announced a cure for cancer, and it didn't matter what he said. They were just opposed to him, no matter what. And that played out in the room with a couple of the people. Overall, it was fair. I mean, they the entire time, whether or not we were on camera or not, the group was civil. They were everybody agreed on some big things. Everybody agreed on peace with Ukraine. You know, I think what the disagreement was is how it was playing out for the world to see. And I think that was something that I think Zelensky, it was his fault. You know, the meeting in the public at the White House was, you know, only a minuscule part of what the back negotiations were to be. Mm-hmm. And you don't do diplomacy on TV. Mm-hmm. And so I think they were more focused on that. And also, you know, the Russia, he loves Putin. And I said, well, you know, there's supposed to be two people at the table if you're negotiating a peace deal. He has to talk to Putin.
Right.
But, you know, again, there are some people that were just intransigent. It was just, I hate Donald Trump, whatever.
Yep. But, let me ask you, out of curiosity, how did you get selected for this?
There was an application going around, and, you know, it didn't say for what event. It said CNN focus group focused on Bucks County voters. So you had to be a voter in Bucks County. You also have had to vote in the 2024 election.
Okay.
So a few weeks ago, I filled that out, didn't hear anything, and then I was called by the producer about 2 weeks ago, and we weren't to tell anyone, and you know, we didn't know until we got there last night who else was on the panel.
Okay.
It was a good cross section. We had a gentleman that was sitting. One of the gentlemen sitting next to me was a farmer from Sellersville.
Mm-hmm.
You know, small farm, third generation farmer, and I think the gal from the nonprofit. She might have been from Newtown. I don't know where she was from, but anyway, so it was a good cross section from Bucks County.
What diner were you at?
The original Golden Eagle Diner in Bristol.
Oh, okay. Nice.
Okay.
Was Mike Missinelli there? Was he there waiting on tables? But here's a serious question. I see all you people sitting in a diner,
yep,
and there's no like cream chip beef on toast. Did they at least feed you while you're sitting there listening for 2 hours?
Yeah, yes. Actually, the diner, this is the biggest diner I've ever seen. It had like two event rooms on either end of the diner. And so this was like a, you know, like a room that they do for events. And so they had food, you know, dinner was on them and all that, even for spouses or whatever. And then we, you know, they kind of like warmed you up, and the special events producer was there. She was very nice.
Oh, did they have Joe? Did Joe Conklin come up and do the warm up back and forth?
They should have. But the funny thing is, the most ironic thing is, you know, there was some bantering back and forth that I don't know if it got on camera. I actually haven't seen the footage yet at all. We left there past midnight because the speech went on for so long, and then they wanted us, you know, talk to us afterwards, and so it was really late by the time we got back to Doylestown. But the ironic thing is that by the time I got back, I looked on the social media, and the CBS poll said that over 70% of the people that they polled were absolutely loved the speech.
Yeah.
So,
did they ask you, Marianne, did they ask all of you guys there, guys and gals, if you're a CNN viewer, or did they not ask you what your television preference is?
They did not ask.
Okay.
But they knew politically who we were, because they needed to balance the panel, and that was their intent. So
it was four Trump supporters and four Harris voters?
Right.
Okay.
Right. And I think they did it by they did ask who we voted for in 2024 and what party we were in the application. So they knew who we voted for, and so it was to be balanced. But
Marianne, next time you get asked to do one of these things, make sure you tell them your favorite radio station is 1210 WPHD. just give us
I'll
a little
make
plug.
That the number one talking point, no matter what.
thank you very much, thank Marianne. You. We appreciate you thank checking
you.
In.
Great job.
You're
there
welcome.
She is, because
bye-bye.
As we know, Greg Stocker,
a capitalist and a corporate whore.
Exactly.
That's cool. I mean, you know.
Yeah. So it was the original Golden Eagle Diner in Bristol.
Yep.
Okay.
Let me guess. Greeks, right? I mean, is there a diner that Greeks don't own anywhere?
Could go for
anywhere
a
in America.
let's move on to Trump talking about tariffs last night, since that is the big story today. This is Cut 35, Phil. The tariffs that went into effect
two nights ago.
With Canada and Mexico. Cut 35, Phil. Go.
And I have also imposed a 25% tariff on foreign aluminum, copper, lumber, and steel, because if we don't have, as an example, steel and lots of other things, we don't have a military, and frankly, we just won't have a country very long. Here today is a proud American steelworker, fantastic person, from Decatur, Alabama, Jeff Denard. Has been working at the same steel plant for 27 years in a job that has allowed him to serve as the captain of his local volunteer fire department, raise seven children with his beautiful wife, Nicole, and over the years provide a loving home for more than 40 foster children. So great, Jeff.
So divisive.
What a joke.
Thank you, Jeff.
I mean, I understand the Democrats hating on Trump. Look at all the divisive. Look at all the people. It was only white people there last night. Where was the diversity?
Yeah. I'll tell you what, if I ever had seven kids, I'd be slapping tariffs on my children. That's first and foremost.
By the way, during that event,
yeah.
during that message last night, Elon Musk had two more kids brought into the world.
I know.
Cut 33, keeping on with the tariffs.
Oh, and by the way, too, I did on the tariff front. Sorry. I played you that Lutnick clip from Fox Business in the Big Take today, where he was, being very braggadocious again, because that's his style, saying that we could have a meeting of the minds in the middle today on the Canada and Mexico front. So if that happens, that would be great. And I'm going to keep an eye on that as this thing develops today.
33, roll it.
You don't make your product in America, however, under the Trump administration, you will pay a tariff, and in some cases, a rather large one. Other countries have used tariffs against us for decades, and now it's our turn to start using them against those other countries. On average, the European Union, China, Brazil, India, Mexico and Canada, have you heard of them? And countless other nations charge us tremendously higher tariffs than we charge them. It's very unfair. India charges us auto tariffs higher than 100%. China's average tariff on our products is twice what we charge them. And South Korea's average tariff is four times higher. Think of that, four times higher. And we give so much help militarily and in so many other ways to South Korea. But that's what happens. This is happening by friend and foe. This system is not fair to the United States and never was. And so on April 2nd, I wanted to make it April 1st, but I didn't want to be accused of April Fool's Day. Just one day was cost us a lot of money. But we're going to do it in April. I'm a very superstitious person. April 2nd, reciprocal tariffs kick in. And whatever they tariff us, other countries, we will tariff them. That's reciprocal, back and forth.
By the way, you ever notice that MAGA Mike Johnson kind of resembles Where's Waldo? Looks just like
yes,
Waldo.
He does.
I just realized
that. Yeah, he needs the hat and, yeah. the red and white.
Yeah, but sure. On a serious
By the way, reciprocal tariffs will be in Phil Almquist's music, This Day in Music History, later on in the show.
Yeah, coming up
I saw them open for a Flock of Seagulls a couple decades ago.
Yeah. Also, for all the media hacks out there that keep writing about the fear of tariffs and how it's going to come back to bite Trump in the ass, and he's already said there might be some short-term pain for long-term game. So there is that, obviously, roll of the dice. They never talk about the tariffs the first time around in his first administration. And then when he's there right there talking about what China does, what India does, what Canada does with higher tariffs. Well, how is their economy doing? How's their inflation? You keep telling me tariffs will be awful for the United States. Well, these other countries are using them at higher level rates. What's their economic situation look like? Is China's economy pretty good? Because if it is, well, then tariffs haven't backfired on Xi Jinping. We never hear about, though. We never hear about that, ever. You know, I would think an inquiring mind in media that's a journalist might want to do some research on that instead of just throwing up lazy headlines with fear porn.
Keep in mind, the United States has a $45.6 billion trade deficit with India alone. And keep in mind that some countries, like Canada won't even allow us to do banking there, won't even let us in. And there are various countries who have boycotted us. And so he's just trying to even the playing field.
Yeah.
There's American banks in Canada.
No, they're not allowed to do U.S. banks in Canada are not allowed to do business. Look it up.
So if I have
I interviewed an expert about it yesterday.
Okay. Oh, I could not use my Citizens Bank debit card to purchase something if I was in Toronto?
No, banks who are based there who serve the Canadian people.
Okay. Interesting. I didn't know that.
Cut 12 here. Speaking of Canada and the tariffs, Justin Trudeau spoke about this yesterday, about how he doesn't blame the American people, the president. And look, they're going to have to start boycotting.
Uh-oh.
Roll it.
Canadians are not angry at the American people for this.
No.
No.
We don't have anything against Americans. Americans are our neighbors, our friends, our partners. We do things together. We've done things together for decades and generations. This is a policy decision by the American government designed to go after the Canadian economy. This is a trade war. Yes. But Canadians, Canadians are hurt.
This guy.
Canadians are angry.
Yeah.
He's a lame duck.
Well, they haven't won a Stanley Cup. I mean, come on.
Not go on vacation in Florida or Old Orchard Beach or wherever. We're going to choose to try to buy Canadian products and forego bourbon and other.
Yeah.
Classic American products.
I've tried to forego bourbon, too.
And
All right. Thank you.
God, he's saying.
By the way, did you see? Too low. Did you see the bit? Did you see the video yesterday of all the alcohol stores in Canada putting Jim Beam bottles and Jack Daniels in crates?
We have.
What are they going to do? Put Canadian Mist, Canadian Club. I mean, all of that garbage we get from there. By the way, this guy's leaving in a couple of days. This is his. Mm-hmm. This is his parting shot, as he basically will be completely non-existent in a couple of days. You realize that?
Yeah, but you know what, though? His incoming counterpart, or at least the assumption, Lapoliev, he kind of spouted off the same tune as Trudeau.
I'll play that in 1 second. Yeah, here's what Tony was just talking about. This was in Canada yesterday at one of their local spirit stores. Phil, roll it. Taking all the bourbon.
Not fine wine and good spirits in Philadelphia, right? It wasn't at the one down on Delaware Avenue and Snyder Avenue, right? It wasn't in that store, was
it? You see that top shelf right there, the Woodford? Yeah. I'll take all of it.
Look at that bourbon.
I want the Woodford. Yeah, give me the Jack.
Yeah.
I don't want any of that cheap Canadian garbage.
No.
All right, so we figured it out. Tony, you get the Jack. I'll take the Woodford. And if they start bottling up any dark reds, Dawn, it's all yours.
Yeah, I want some. Yeah, I want some. I want some really, really. I want some cabs and some really good red Zinfandels, ancient vine Zins. Just clean them all out and send them down here, baby.
Pierre Poilievre, you just talked about this. This is cut 14.
My boy, I like this guy until now.
Yeah.
No, he's a backstabber. We got to go and invade. Yep. I think we should all get together after the show and go up there, jump in our cars, and invade Canada and take all their booze.
I think the Kale and Company staff could overwhelm the Canadian Army in a nanosecond.
Roll this.
At 12:01 a.m., President Trump stabbed America's best friend in the back.
Oh.
My message to the president is this. Canada will fight back. We will defend our people and our economy, and we will put Canada first. There's no doubt that our economy will suffer. But so will yours, President Trump. In fact, you're already paying the price with trillions of dollars erased in stock market value over the last month of these threats. Already Americans are paying higher gas prices as at midnight, a new American gas tax kicked in on U.S. working class taxpayers and motorists. Your workers will soon start losing jobs. Jobs they had upgrading Canadian raw materials, which, by the way, you were getting at an incredible and ridiculous bargain. And your businesses will be selling fewer products to your closest neighbor. And that's only the beginning. While Canadians are slow to anger and quick to forgive, once provoked, we fight back. And we will.
Oh, yeah.
Tell you what, I liked him a lot better when he was chomping on that apple. Remember that video? Yeah.
Well, guys,
I think I know exactly what you're going to say.
If you know, Trump is, everybody loves Trump because he's America first. This guy's Canada first.
This guy's a populist.
He's
correct.
A populist. He's don't F with my country.
Yeah.
And there's nothing wrong with it.
No.
Just because he speaks out against Dear Leader doesn't mean that he's necessarily a bad guy.
That stance is to be expected. Yeah.
Thank you.
I agree. Yeah. No, he's a populist. I totally get it. I like him, although when it comes down to us against Canada and trade wars, I'm riding with my populist. But yeah.
By the way, one more on Canada. We thought more about Canada in the last 6 months than we've ever thought about Canada.
I know, I'm all Canada'd out.
Me too. This is Ontario Premier Doug Ford. This is cut 9, talking about retailers. You place signage that indicates Canadian-made products.
Let's get it back to COVID.
Which is fine. Like, I'm fine with this. You want to make stuff in Canada and let you... Like, that's good. It's good for your economy, stupid. Roll it.
First question. So you won't be back yet before March 15. What can you do for the tariff until there? And what do you intend to do about the tariff?
Well, these are a couple of things that I'm responsible for as a province. The federal government's leading the charge.
Gotta hate Canada.
The communication has been fabulous with the PM and the government as well. I said, number one, I don't start a tariff war, but we're going to win this tariff war. Right off the hop, I've directed the LCBO. We're the largest purchaser of alcohol in the world.
He could also
to remove every bit of U.S. alcohol off the shelf.
Cheeseburger eating.
Yeah, he can also lay back on the Molsons, bro. goodness.
There you go. There's
just to give you a quick talking point, because you're going to get pushback when about the banking thing. And if you stuck go with, they're going to say, oh, Trump falsely claims that the USA American banks can't do business. They have to go through and jump through hoops and pay more than double what the Fed charges. So if you want a bank, yes, are banks, is JP Morgan in Canada? Yes, they are. But what do they have to do? They have to register as a Schedule II bank. They have to create a domestic Canadian subsidiary, right, so they can do business. And then they pay almost triple what you would have to do business in the United States. So what he's saying is, let's even, in other words, you have to jump through so many regulations and so many hoops that it's almost unaffordable.
That's the whole objective and end game here, is to make the deals more 50-50, so to speak, which makes you ask, I think, the obvious pertinent question: how can the United States, as strong as we are military-wise, as wealthy as we are, economically, and the funds and resources that we have, why are we on the losing end of so many deals with other countries? How did we ever get to this point, right?
Because we allowed
it. People don't know that.
Yeah.
Because people like Joe Biden, they don't know that, because he's been asleep for 4 years. And the bottom line is, they don't know. And the thing about the tariffs, mark my words, mark the tape. What is today? March 5th. March 5th, right?
Tape is marked.
March 5th, Thursday, March 5th. This whole tariff thing, you watch, in less than a month, all of these countries will buckle under, and then they will realize that, yes, you're going to charge us for products coming from your country. We're going to charge you. That's what reciprocal tariffs are. They're not a band. They're not an emo band. This is what countries have always been doing, taking advantage of each other. And listen, I got maple syrup coming out the yin-yang. Yeah. I went to Sam Club the other day and bought a couple of containers of maple syrup to hold me over through the summer.
Yeah,
exactly.
It's real maple syrup.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, speaking of Sam's Club, I bought socks at Sam's Club.
Oh, God.
Has anybody ever
done
that?
Did you really?
Before? Yeah.
What's wrong with you?
Absolutely. Buy everything at Sam's Club.
Great.
By the way, the best lunch in these tough economic times, when you can't have eggs in a diner, you can go to Sam's Club, get two. Robin and I were there yesterday. Two hot dogs, two sodas, and an absolutely amazing pretzel with the butter on it, sort of like Annie M's.
Yeah.
$4 out the door.
Wow.
A family of two can eat for $4 at Sam's Club. Thank you, Sam.
Thank you.
Not Uncle Sam.
Yep.
That's Sam Walton to you and everybody else.
Yeah.
The man from Walmart fan.
Yeah, it's Sam's Club, but you're welcome anytime. If you have a membership.
Sam, right.
Trump went through the Social Security stuff. Talking about how many people are on Social Security that...
Oh, God, you hear the ages for this?
Might be dead.
Oh,
I mean, when
God.
I say might be dead.
No, they are.
You have to hear some of these ages. By the way, did anybody fact check this? Like, is this...
No, but I've read the... it was not CBS.
I did fact check it last time.
Reuters or Bloomberg?
Of course you did.
Reuters or Bloomberg had this story with some of the ages, like... Now, I didn't see in the written version I read a day or two ago. I didn't read about people 140 and 150 and 160, but there were people from 116 up to, like, 128 that were still, at least in theory... on the receiving end of checks, and they have to be dead. The oldest person alive is 114, right?
Let me guess, Don, your fact checking was on Truth Social.
Oh yeah, that's it.
Wow.
There are some.
Don, you bring those Emmys in, and you shove them right down his gullet when he gets snippy.
some of this, they've had issues with people's birth dates, and it's over 100. But there is some strange data. As they look, it's just too many people getting checks that make no sense. And so when I think the truth is, are there people getting this that shouldn't be or that are deceased? Yes. But I also think that when they shuffle through, and that's the reason that we need DOGE, is that I think at the end of the day, what we'll realize is that perhaps they had the birth dates wrong because of something happens when somebody's a certain age. And so...
Well, if a
I
check
think there
goes
are a couple of explanations.
If these checks, in theory, go uncashed, no harm, no foul. But if there's some other sibling that is receiving it for the deceased and cashing it, that's where my problem lies.
Exactly.
All right,
but that's the point, yeah. Right? That nobody even noticed all of this to investigate it.
I know.
And so perhaps some of these, we no harm, no foul, but why are they just figuring that out now?
All right, let's roll this. Cut 30. This is cut 30, Phil, if you have this. There you go.
We're also identifying shocking levels of incompetence and probable fraud in the Social Security program for our seniors and that our seniors and people that we love rely on. Believe it or not, government databases list 4.7 million Social Security members from people aged 100 to 109 years old.
Oh, good 30 years left.
It lists 3.6 million people from ages 110 to 119. I don't know any of them. I know some people that are rather elderly, but not quite that elderly. 3.47 million people from ages 120 to 129. 3.9 million people from ages 130 to 139. Mm-hmm. 3.5 million people from ages 140 to 149. And money is being paid to many of them. And we're searching right now. In fact, Pam, good luck. Good luck. You're going to find it. But a lot of money is paid out to people because it just keeps getting paid and paid and nobody does. And it really hurts Social Security and hurts our country. 1.3 million people from ages 150 to 159 and over 130,000 people, according to the Social Security databases, are age over 160 years old.
Wow.
We have a healthier country than I thought, Bobby.
My favorite line of the night. By the way, Jimmy Kelly, I need that on the board right there. Now, I'm seeing there's two stories that conflict with what I said. Well, one that confirms what I said, one that conflicts. CNBC was the source that I read. 7,000, not employees, 7,000 citizens have been on the receiving end of checks that in theory were cut and mailed out that have perished, that for some reason, quote, do not have a date of death associated with their Social Security number. So that seems to be, to me, some sort of clerical error where Bob died, Bob's getting a check, but for some reason Social Security doesn't have a perished date on his account, so to speak. Then you have the AP, take this for what it's worth, you know, funded from USAID. February 19th, the Associated Press wrote that tens of millions of dead people are not actually getting Social Security payments on the receiving end. So my guess is the lower end people, like that are 109 that are dead, that Social Security thinks is still alive, might be having checks mailed to wherever they lived. But maybe these people that are 150, I don't know if that's a lie from Trump, if that's fake, whatever that is, if that's a Doge mishap, whatever you want to call it. So take it for what it's worth. From what
meanwhile,
I say,
every year on my pension from AFTRA and Disney, the two that I collect, I have to reconfirm that I'm alive, right? And I'm still collecting a pension from two unions
that's
that are
point.
In. But I have to reconfirm every single year, sign a paper and send it to them that I am still who I am.
Yep.
So anybody who's not who they are, unless people steal Social Security numbers all the time, that's consumer fraud. And the fact that people are mad at Doge, because these things are the government. They're in the databases. Anybody can access this information. It's not like people are hacking in to find out who's getting Social Security or who's getting this benefit or that benefit.
Yeah.
That's the weirdest thing about people who are against finding out about government fraud.
It's just our
damn money, and I want it now. And I don't have a structured settlement, and I need cash now.
I can't call
J.G. Wentworth 877 cash now. Damn it.
I just wish we were more financially responsible with making sure that these people are vetted. It's like the same people that are outraged over this are the same ones that get pissed off when you say, I need ID for you to show up and vote. Like, why is that such a radical demand? I mean, I make my daughters require, I require two forms of ID, Tony, for my daughters before I take them to Rita's.
Well, you have to. I mean, you never know. No, but, you know, Rita's now. We have Rita's down here, too, in Florida now.
Yeah.
You know, Rita's, water rice. Water rice.
Water rice. Down here. Water rice.
Water.
So to Tony's point, I'll just say, so the data, anybody can look up raw data, is at ssa.gov, the Social Security Administration.
Yeah.
And how many people, 99 and over, are getting Social Security? Close to, it's 51.8 million Americans, 99, are getting Social Security, but 99 and over, you're looking at nearly 90 million Americans. If you look at the numbers, what it tells you is this is why they're going to probably raise the age, and they'll, you know what I mean? That's the bottom line on the whole story with Social Security, is that we can't afford this because we have a huge decline in population, and the baby boomers are now coming of age. And that's, when you look at SSA.gov, that's what you see. As far as the Trump numbers that he gave, I suspect that what we'll learn is, technically, he's not wrong. What he's quoting is on the books, but are those people really still getting a check? And to your point about the clerical error, that their date of their death was never recorded.
855-839-1210 if you want to jump in.
We have a ton more. We're an hour and 40, or 2 hours and 45 minutes in, and I haven't even gotten to my favorite.
We may have to keep going. I don't want this to stop. I don't want this to end.
We'll be like California counting votes. This will take 3 weeks.
Yeah. It's like a marathon.
But we are going to get to it all on the other
filibuster.
Side.
Yeah.
All right, we continue with Bruno next. Right now, a word from our friends at the Piazza Auto Group with Mercedes-Benz, the extensive selection at MB of Westchester, Wilmington, and Atlantic City, where they combine luxury with performance across the full line of sedans, SUVs, coupes, roadsters, and more. From the powerful engine of the 2025 C-Class sedan to the impressive towing capacity of the 2025 GLE SUV, you'll find the luxury vehicle that meets your needs. Schedule a test drive behind the wheel of your dream Mercedes-Benz or shop Mercedes-Benz of Westchester, Wilmington, and Atlantic City at PiazzaPremiumAutos.com and tell them that Nick sent you.
Start your day with Kale and Company, weekday mornings 6 till 10 on Talk Radio 1210, WPHT, and the free Odyssey app.